And now it's time for Madison's Mad Facts with your host, Madison Standish.
It's Madison. Welcome to another Madison on the Air bonus feature of Madison's Mad Facts, where we look at the way things were in real life back during these old-timey radio shows. This bonus feature was released in March 2025 for episode 53, The Falcon. Highly recommend listening to the episode first if you haven't already. Okay, here we go. For these Mad Facts, I'm always looking for something in the story that makes me curious about what was maybe different from what we know today. For the Falcon, what caught my attention was when my boyfriend is trying to book a flight for us to leave the country. How easy was it to fly back then? What was it like? Well, let's take a trip into old-timey air travel. After World War II, commercial air travel saw a surge in passenger demand. Wartime restrictions had been lifted, generating new carriers and new technology. We romanticized the era, but what was it really like to fly in the late 40s and early 50s? Yes, we all know there were luxuries aboard flights, but there's a reason for it. Whether you're talking large seats, tons of legroom, seats that fold out into beds, or gourmet meals served on real china and fully stocked bars. The airlines didn't provide these amenities out of the kindness of their big hearts. Flying in the late 40s into the 50s was expensive. A round-trip ticket in the U.S. from coast to coast cost around $260, which at the time was half the price of a new car. It was half a month's salary for many Americans. So to entice passengers, airlines rolled out the red carpet, trying to make the trip as desirable and luxurious as they could to justify the sticker shock of the ticket price. But great perks or not, most of the airline passengers back then were wealthy people or white businessmen traveling on their company's dime. Do you remember our one-year anniversary episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar? Johnny is flown from Hartford, Connecticut to Los Angeles on the expense account of his employer. This was quite common. And actually, what led to the decades of the cliche of the stewardess. Little side story here. In 1930, a nurse named Ellen Church wanted to become an airline pilot. But as a woman, the career was not open to her. So instead, she pitched the idea to the head of Boeing to have a nurse, who were always female since women couldn't be doctors either, to be present on the flight to help alleviate passengers' fears of flying and to care for those with air sickness. By the 1950s, this trend of women serving passengers had caught on. And with weight restrictions for the stewardesses being no more than 120 pounds, beauty requirements, a certain attitude towards serving men, tight skirts and heels, this was definitely a perk to the male business traveler. Did you catch the part about air sickness? While jet airplanes had been developed for the military during World War II, the late 40s and early 50s still saw propeller or prop planes for commercial use, and this made air travel very problematic on a bunch of different levels. First, the prop planes were limited to lower altitudes because, folks, they didn't have pressurized cabins yet. So aircraft could only go about 10 to 12,000 feet. This meant there was no flying over storm systems, and turbulence could be immense. Air sickness was common amongst travelers. And yeah, you get a great meal on china, but you're bouncing all over the place like eating during an LA earthquake. And all that bouncing around left many travelers in extreme back pain after the flight. Not being able to fly above poor weather conditions often meant flights were extremely delayed. The planes could be delayed in takeoff or forced to make landings along the route to wait out poor weather conditions. In addition, the piston engines of these aircraft were bulky, complex, and difficult to maintain. Also adding to delays. A common joke of the era was, time to spare? Travel by air. Oh, and it might be interesting to mention that besides weather causing turbulence, it also increased the chances of mid-flight collisions between aircraft. And the planes were more likely to have an engine fall off during flight. In 1952, deaths from air travel was averaged at 5.2 a year. Today, the number is 1.33, four times less, but with 42 times more the number of passengers flying. Let's just say in 1952, you never wanted anyone to tell you the odds. And did you know there was jet lag before there were jets? piston engine and turboprop planes still got passengers to their destination faster than by car or rail, throwing off people's body rhythms and creating the first cases of what would later be dubbed jet lag. For some years, airlines offered sleeper service for overnight flights, but it became too costly to maintain. So they switched to offering low-fare night coach service, which became known as red-eye specials. What about airline security, you may ask? I joke about it in Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, but it's true. There was no TSA, metal detectors, or demands for photo IDs at every turn. At the time, most airports were only a single story, and anyone was welcome to go right up to the gate, whether to see a loved one off on a flight or just to bring the kids to watch the planes take off. This included being out on the tarmac, especially since planes were still boarded entirely from ground level, not through the tunnels or passenger boarding bridges that major airports use today. And while most of us here in modern day are well aware of the ever-growing security put in place following 9/11, it was actually the 60s and 70s that would start to see an increase in security concerns for flights due to the frequency of hijackings. In most cases, the hijackers weren't trying to kill themselves or anyone on the plane, so airlines had protocols to comply with the hijackers until the late 70s when hijackings took a violent turn. And of course, we haven't mentioned the smoking yet. Who doesn't imagine old-timey flights filled with smokers puffing away? The idea of having a smoking and non-smoking section on a flight sounds laughable today. But did you know that only became a law for American flights as recently as 1990? So the past gave you legroom and lung cancer. We can also touch on the racism of early air travel. Besides the flights being extremely expensive, so it was less likely for people of color to be able to afford the luxury, many telephone ticket booking agents were taught how to identify black voices and either to discourage their travel or isolate them in black-only flights. In the South, while the airlines themselves were not legally segregated, the airports were, putting African-American travelers in horrible accommodations. It wouldn't be until the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that these practices would be forced to change. But demand for air travel continued to grow through the 1950s, and by 1958, the jet airliners revolutionized commercial travel. These were faster, bigger, and more durable. They had pressurized cabins and now could fly 20 to 30,000 feet. And by the late 50s, air travel had eclipsed sea travel for transatlantic crossings. The more efficient and commonplace flying became, the more all of the perks and services offered were slowly reduced. Air travel left the novelty of luxury, where passengers dressed in their Sunday best, to just a necessity to get from point A to point B. Does that mean we should lament the loss of the so-called golden age of air travel? While you're sitting with your knees at your chest and the guy in front of you reclines back into your lap after you've been groped by a grumpy TSA agent in your socks, paying 10 bucks for a bottle of water in the airport and having to pay extra for everything from baggage to your seat assignment? Yeah, it seems like the good old days. But as with all of OTR, while some of it can be romanticized, the reality of it is, maybe we are better off today. Well, thank you everyone for listening to my little bonus feature on the history of air travel. We release the year-old Mad Facts on the 15th of every month. Or you can sign up for my Patreon for only $5 a month and get the new Mad Facts right after the episode's premiere on the 10th. Link in the show notes. Okay,